as 35% of Iraq veterans have or will experience.
What's up? What's up? This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to Penguin Radio. This is On veterans. The Bounce. First show. Excited, very excited to start this radio show. Tuesdays, tune in 4 o'clock to 5, only an hour, not so much of your time. So you guys can all listen in and listen to your favorite DJ talking about basketball off the court and on the court. Mainly off the court situations. I'm being a basketball player. I have the inside scoop on the Dominican hoops. So we'll be talking about that as well as professional WNBA, college hoops, anything involving basketball. We're going to be talking about on this show. So listen up, Tuesdays, 4 to 5, we'll be going full throttle. Just first off, just want to thank everybody for getting me to this point, professors, family, friends that are listening. Just want to thank you guys for getting me here to this position that I am in today. A little bit about myself, I'm a communication major here at Dominican, senior last year, excited to do this show. And ready to get it popping, so let's do it. Topics of the day. First, we're going to be talking about Kobe Bryant, big name in the NBA, just retired last year. He's starting a business, so we're going to be talking about what he's doing off the court now that he's retired. We're going to be talking about Brittany Griner, a huge WNBA player on Phoenix Mercury. Talk about a little bit about her lifestyle. Also, we're talking about Damian Lillard, Portland Trail Blazers. Portland Trailblazers point guard and his off the court rap deal. And lastly, we'll be finishing up with your favorite Dominican hoops and the inside scoop on them. So let's get it started. We're going to talk about Kobe Bryant, Kobe Bean Bryant, man of the NBA. He's a great figure, was with the same organization for about 20 years, I believe. Really a father figure to the NBA. And what I want to say is that he is teaming up with Jeff Stiebel to launch Bryant Stiebel, which is a basically a tech company. And you don't see many NBA players doing this after they retire or in the middle of the career. For that note, Kobe Bryant has set up a $100 million venture capital fund that will make investments to this technology company with Jeff Stiebel, which is a huge announcement because it just shows how players are still involved after they retire. And right away after he made that decision, he received criticism because, you know, other NBA players like himself have done the same thing, and honestly, it hasn't gone that well. It's been a little in the hole. You know, Shaquille O'Neal invested in a good amount of companies. Carmelo Anthony, he invested in some companies, as well as like Allen Iverson, and I forget the other name off the top of my head. But Andre Iguodala is a big investment of a technology company, and right away he received criticism. Bryant did about this, saying, you know, What is he gonna do with the technology company? Being a basketball player, he doesn't know much. It's not his court. Basically, he doesn't have home court advantage in that deal. But there's something that Bryant has to say. He said, "I think it's very interesting that immediate reaction from people would be competitiveness between myself and others. I'm more interested in how I could help Shaq, Melo, or Andre Iguodala," which was neat to hear because, you know, he was a fierce competitor on the court, if not day in and day out, going to battle, showing emotion on the court, off the court, after in interviews that this really means something to him. So for him to say something like that about other NBA players wanting to help them, it shows a bit about of his character and his off the court lifestyle. You know, that he's pretty much a good guy that the father figure of the NBA has said to be the last 20 years. You know, with him retiring, it was a big fallout for the NBA, seeing that and kind of thinking of who's next in line to take over his spot, being, you know, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. It's interesting to see him going this route with the technology company, and kind of cool. You know, being a basketball player myself, you see that you know, just because he's done playing basketball doesn't mean he's done with life and he's just going to go on a yacht and enjoy himself. I'm sure he did for a couple of weeks, but right after the offseason, you know, he's planning on still making money and planning on still going to work. A little bit about this company. It's basically a technology company, deals with media. He's Kobe Bryant, you know, we see his brand, Kobe, being huge, you know, worth millions and billions of dollars, getting revenue from there. But him going into something completely different than basketball, technology company, could show what really kind of person he is off the court. And if he is a smart businessman, other than his fellow NBA stars being Carmelo and Andre Iguodala. So basically, Kobe has said that he's going to add this creativeness, kind of competitive side to it, adding a little bit of flair to the program and to Jeff Stiebel. And Jeff Stiebel, who he invested in as a businessman, is he's a former chief executive of a public tech company, Web.com, and he's going to add all the business components, kind of like the brains behind it. And Kobe's kind of like the figure that is being shown, you know, the marketing expertise. He even designed the Bryant Stiebel logo himself. So it's pretty cool to see Kobe Bryant still continue with his career after this, after his, you know, amazing performance of 61 points in the Lakers arena. So we're definitely interested. We'll keep up on Kobe throughout that and see how he does with his career in off the court. Looking up a couple Kobe Bean related stats of business wise, you know, he's had a number of endorsements with the Nike company. We've seen him in plenty of commercials for Spalding, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, even video games with Nintendo. We've seen him doing a couple things with 2K. And he's just been a big figure off brands, unlike the NBA. Just sticking with shoes, you know, he's promoted Hyperdunk shoes, where he's like appearing to jump over an Ashton Martin, and he's done something where he's jumped over a pool of snakes. So he's a good figure to choose for a business area or business arena. We've seen him speak very highly of the league, representing it very well. He's been on multiple covers of ESPN magazines. He's been a big fan of FC Barcelona and actually have gotten them some fans probably from the LA area into soccer. You know, he was a big fan with I'm thinking of Messi, which is a huge soccer name. So, you know, he's definitely been a crazy figure. He's been on the Forbes list probably, I don't know how many times, but let me see here. Bryant was ranked third behind Tiger Woods on Jordan's Forbes list of the highest paid athletes with $48 million. So he knows what he's doing with his money. He knows how he's spending it. He knows what he's going to do with it in the future. So, you know, I don't really see this business failing in my opinion. I don't. I think it's going to be successful. I think it's going to be a good launch. They already had a launch where him and Stiebel are announcing that he's going to be doing this. And it was pretty successful, you know, got a good amount of views, got a good amount of attention. Besides that negative remarks that I addressed earlier about him being compared to other athletes and him saying, you know what, like, I want to help these guys and see what they can do with their businesses and expand their lifestyles, not only on the court but off the court. So it's really cool to see him do that as a basketball player myself. Other things that he's done with business, he's been involved in Turkish Airlines. You know, he's been behind Floyd Mayweather, Cristiano Ronaldo, LeBron James, other athletes in the NBA. So he's definitely a figure that you want on your side, of the marketing standpoint, and someone that could necessarily help you. you know, we've seen that what he's done on the court in the past 20 years is something spectacularly special. You know, LA fans are driven towards him, and it's tough to see him go, but seeing him still continue his kind of Mamba mentality, as he would say, continue after he retires, it shows fans that, you know, he's not done with what he's doing, and people are still going to be hearing about him as the time goes by. So on to next topic. You know, let's talk about another NBA big name superstar, which is Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard has been kind of on the spotlight the last couple of years, ever since he made the game-winning, I believe it was in the seventh game, the last game, eliminating game of the playoffs to go into the Western Conference Finals. He hit a three-pointer at the buzzer versus Houston Rockets. He's been in the spotlight ever since then of what he can do on the court and off the court, being a good role model. I know they signed him to a max deal, which allowed him to be in Portland for the next couple of years. And there was some, with LaMarcus Aldridge leaving to the Spurs, there was some saying that he was going to leave, or some saying that he was going to try to get picked up from a different team. But he definitely stayed loyal to his Portland Trailblazers. And what he's doing off the court right now, he is known as Dame Dalla, which is his rap name. And he's an artist. He's making soundtracks in the studio. Says he's not really super committed to it because he wants to focus on basketball itself. But you know, he's been big the last couple months. Racked up about 4.5 million plays on his SoundCloud. Has received record label attention. And his agent Aaron Goodwin has told TMZ that he's been approached by several major labels, and they won't say which ones, but you know, that's huge. You know, is it just because he's a popular NBA star? You know, it could be, but the thing is, he's still getting these views and these amount of views, and it's crazy to see someone with that that skill on the basketball court be just as skilled off the court. And in his music. I'm actually going to play a little bit of one of his songs, but he already established himself of one of the good or great rappers that have been in the NBA, you know, and he's had about more than a couple of songs come out on SoundCloud. So we're going to play one of his songs. It's called Talk to Me, probably about 30 seconds of the intro, and it's already been played more than 40,000 times, which is, if you're just a starting out rapper, you know, it's pretty hard to get 40,000 views. So listen up to Dame Dalla real quick. We'll have a little bit of him.
And talk to him. Ha. Dame Dalla. Hey, talk to him. Hey, hey, talk to him. I said, hey, talk to him. Mm-hmm. Hey, talk to him.
We back at it, man.
Talk
Look,
to him.
Listen.
They
say the loyal don't budge and real G's moving silence. And thugs really in it, not the ones promoting violence. I know a couple in it that's trying to get up out it. And it's all street knowledge, they ain't get to go to college. A lot of people tapping in, I'm El Capitan. You speak on what we say and we'll never rap again.
So that was a little bit of Dame Dalla. Couldn't go too much into it. Gets a little bit explicit towards the middle. But that's something that he came out with recently. It was sounding pretty good for a little bit. So that's, if you want to check it out, Talk to Him, which is his new single. And that's about Dame. So we're going to go to a little bit of a commercial break. Just want to let you know you're listening to DJ Duncan on Penguin Radio. This is radio.dominican.edu. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Nature is always so strange. Not of a bird, driving slowly, watching the headlights in the rain. Funny how things change. Think of the good times, wishing you were still with me. Graduation day. Watching the stars fall. A million dreams have all gone bad. Think of all we had. I knew it all then. I thought you loved me, I was wrong.
Guys, thanks for waiting on that commercial quick break. This is DJ Duncan back on Penguin Radio, Tuesdays 4 to 5. Listen in. It's going to be a great show throughout the whole semester, and I'm very excited, as I previously stated. Next topic, we're going to be talking about Brittany Griner, a huge WNBA name, very dominant presence. I don't know if you've seen her in college, but she was the first woman to actually dunk in a college basketball game, and she was probably the most dominant force college basketball has seen for a women's basketball player in the past decade or two. She was, I think she's about 6'8". I don't know where she's originally from, but she played for Baylor, and then she got drafted to the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA. And what I want to talk about her a little bit is her kind of off the court lifestyle and how that portrays to her on the court game. So if you saw her in college sports, you wouldn't really think much of her besides that she's huge and she can block shots and score the basketball. Now you see her, she's almost covered in tattoos. More vocal, more of a presence off the court, I would say, and just kind of she's kind of a goofball as well. You know, it doesn't really care what people think about her. Just bees herself. Not really an ass or anything, but she seems just like a good, fun person. You know, still enjoying her life. And what I want to talk about is mainly her tattoos. It's funny because she said that she used to wear long sleeves in college games to cover her tattoos, and now that she's in the WNBA, she still has the ones that she had from college, but she added a lot more, you know, coming down from her back to her arm, almost as a sleeve on one arm, I think on her left arm, and then on her right arm she has another tattoo coming down her arm. So it was funny to me seeing that she said, you know, I covered my tattoos in college, just and then now that I'm in the WNBA, I'm able to show them. And it was just her decision, you know. It wasn't anybody else's decision. It wasn't the coaches saying you can't be you can't wear this, but they basically said, you know, that she's going to just portray herself, and she made it. She's in the WNBA getting the check, so she doesn't have to worry about what other people are going to criticize her on, and other critics. So reading about her, that she has a bunch of tattoos, I was reading a little bit about her lifestyle, and she said something about she might get her next tattoos on her eyelids, which is a very bold statement in my thinking. And you know, and it was talking about 30 minutes before her doctor's appointment, that would sit her out of one of her first WNBA games. She's joking and she's still smiling. So I don't know. To me, it's not really seeing her as not being serious. I think she's just, you know, honestly just enjoying life and loving what she does, and was kind of scared of the spotlight in her college years. And now that she, you know, she could say, oh, I've accomplished something, I've made it to the WNBA, and you know, I'm dunking on people still, it gives her a little bit of a sigh of relief, and let her be herself a little bit more, you know, let her show who she really is, and reach out to fans, and you know, say she's not just a big mean person underneath the basket that runs the floor. You know, she's definitely a different person. You know, and a little bit of a statement that she comparing college to WNBA. She says, "My life is definitely different than it was in college. I love the freedom that it comes with being an adult. No one's telling you what to do. Nothing's planned out. You know what you have to do. You can get to practice 2 hours before or walk in the last second. You know, no one's going to," that's what she said, but no one's going to bug her about coming in 2 hours before saying, you know, you need to get shots up. You're a professional player. You know what you have to do to be successful in the league. And it's honestly your choice if you want to keep on doing it. So she said most of her artwork does have meaning. One's dedicated to her brother, which is one of like her half sleeve, like I was talking about earlier. And another one's about her pet snakes, which we'll talk about a little bit. Another one, it says she has two skulls to say laugh now, cry later, a phrase that she turned to during her most difficult times in her life. So it says she had a pet snake. She says that you know, snakes are definitely different. They're perceived by different people as being evil or somewhat like snaky animals, animals. So she definitely said that she could relate to these kind of things, and that they do have, you know, feelings. She can tell the moods. You know, I don't know. I've never had a snake, but she says she could tell the moods of them. You know, she really understands them, and she kind of relates to them, which is kind of cool. You know, I'm a big animal person myself, and seeing that she relates to something that she sees in herself is, you know, really, really relatable. And seeing that, you know, she can cope with some of her problems with something like that. Teammate Diana Taurasi, which is a huge WNBA name, was killing in the playoffs, Olympics this past year, past summer, said, "There's something to be said about being comfortable in your own skin. That's an incredible trait to have. She's not trying to be anyone. She's not trying to be an actress. She's not trying to be a rapper. She's Brittany Griner, who plays basketball at the highest level and off the court can get along with anyone. She's really re-energized the WNBA and revived the whole city," which is Phoenix, "with women's basketball." So thinking about that, you know, I think it's great that she's doing this now, because it's definitely putting on, you know, a good example to young girls playing basketball, coming up, even not even basketball, different sports, baseball, softball, you know, volleyball, anything. It shows them that they could be comfortable in their own skin, and, you know, people are going to judge them, perceive them differently, and have judgments throughout your whole life, you know. And what Brittany Griner did, which she ignored all those critics, all those naysayers, her whole life until she made it. And then she made it into the WNBA, excuse me, and she started showing people that, you know, she's a goofball. She's a funny girl. She's a person who loves to have fun, and she's being herself. You know, and she's trying to reach out and trying to tell people, you know, don't bottle it up for all these years like I did. You know, be yourself now. She was just scared of kind of like the publicity and what people would say about her when she's in college. And now that she made it, she just kind of relieved of all that stress and all those, you know, different factors that come into play, that she really is a good person. And I think that's great that she's doing this, because, you know, it just shows younger people that to be comfortable, to be confident, to really strut what you have, you know, even if it's not much, you know, to be yourself. And off the court, you know, she said that other than being a shot blocking, dunking, and emotional superstar, she's an active longboarder, listens to Jimi Hendrix, Trace Adkins, and she'll soon be wearing men's clothing as a part of a multi-year endorsement deal with Nike. You know, so what she's doing in my eyes is something very cool and hasn't been done in the past of the WNBA, and she's one of the first definitely to do that. And she's a huge present. You know, she's still dunking the ball in the WNBA. She's still dunking over people, and it's showing. It's showing that she's enjoying life, and it's transitioning over to on the court. You know, she's gotten compliments from teammates saying that she's still a hard worker when the time comes down to it. You know, it's business time. She suits up, ready for practice, and she's ready to go. All this stuff that she's doing off the court doesn't really change who she is on the court. It's just she's just showing it in a different way now that she's necessarily, you know, kind of made it. You know, getting paid, you know a lot more. She said that she's, you know, wanting to have the WNBA, you know, games be more televised. You know, have more publicity to it. So that kind of helped her open up, and you know, kind of really trying to fight for the league, which is kind of cool as well. You know, something that I read on her was saying that, you know, the WNBA has to embrace her, you know, at her fingertips, like the NBA is doing to LeBron, Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant, you know, Dwayne Wade. When you see, you know, a player stand for what they feel and what they feel right, you need to grab that as an organization, and you need to run with that, especially that you have not seen this in the WNBA in the past. So those are kind of my thoughts on her. You know, I think it's great that she's doing this. In my opinion, I haven't seen a lot of girls covered in tattoos on basketball teams, or if you do, it's rare. And me myself having a good amount of tattoos, it's neat to see what their art means to them, and kind of the background, because it's a process. You know, it's painful, it's beautiful, but it's something that takes time and a lot of thought into. So seeing her do that definitely makes me wanna know more about other not WNBA players, but just, you know, girls basketball in general that have these not wild looks, but just not normal. It's out of the norm. It's not ordinary. And you know, it's not saying they're bad people. It's saying that they have a different lifestyle. They have a creative mindset. They're doing something that other people haven't done before, in that regards. So it was very, very cool to read up on her and see what she's doing, because I remember watching her at Baylor just killing people. You know, she was always on SportsCenter with her dunks. To see that she's actually being successful in the WNBA and really promoting herself, you know, who she truly is, you know, it's great to see as a basketball player and a young athlete. So with that being said, we're going to go to our second commercial break. We will be back here shortly. Don't forget, you're listening to DJ Duncan on the Bounce, Tuesdays 4 to 5, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back. People just don't understand. It's the jobs that I get. thanks everybody for taking that quick commercial break. Don't forget, if you're doing nothing later, that my fellow classmate DJ KP will be on later today at 6 p.m. Great show about music. And if you're not doing anything right before this, don't forget to check out DJ Beefcake, who has some interesting topics to discuss on her show. So back to action. What I wanted to kind of segment off of that last Brittany Griner was, I thought to myself, you know, which WNBA or NBA player, you know, has a bunch of tattoos who is representing himself? And first thing comes to mind is my Cleveland Cavalier champion, J.R. Smith. You know, there's a bunch in the league who are covered in tattoos for the NBA. We see it, you know, frequently, if not every game. But former Knicks, current Cleveland Cavalier, not current yet because they're still trying to finalize his deal. But J.R. Smith actually is probably one of the most decorated player in the league regards to having tattoos. Has them all over his neck. I'm not sure if he has any facial tattoos, but I would not doubt it. It says, so I was thinking, you know, how he represents himself, and he's kind of been a, you know, to the league a little bit of a wild card in regards to him, you know, partying and off the court. But I was just researching, you know, how many tattoos does he have, and what he really thinks of his artwork compared to Brittany Griner. And, you know, he was kind of the same. You know, he was very proud of them. They each, you know, each have some sort of meaning to it, you know, not more, some more than others, obviously. But in this interview with him, they were asking, you know, how many do you think you have? Do you keep track of your tattoos? He says he's lost count at 70 tattoos, around 70 something. And that is a crazy amount. His first tattoo was a picture of him dunking when he was 15. Him and his sister both got one. So, you know, it's very, very different stuff. He has a Jordan symbol right in the center, a Jesus piece on his left chest. So, you know, it's a bunch of different stuff. He has said that a bunch of different people have given him this artwork, and, you know, he doesn't really have a general idea of what he's going to do with his whole body. But if he wants something that means to him, that means something to him, or something special, you know, he definitely is not scared to show it. He's definitely going to go out there and say how he feels. So that kind of related to the Brittany Griner segment, you know, just a quick thing of who's doing that in the WNBA. He was asked, you know, if he could get rid of any of them, which one would he get rid of? And he says he loves all of them. So, you know, that really means something to him and what he's doing. So on to the next topic. What are we going to talk about here? We are going to talk about Steph Curry. Just a very short segment. I was online the other day and saw that he was playing in Taiwan or China. And he got his shot blocked by a teenager. Is this scary news for Curry fans and the Warriors fans? I don't know. You know, it's nothing to be crazy over about, because, you know, people fall down, people get blocked, people miss shots. Doesn't mean anything, but, you know, people love to look into things. So this was displayed on all over websites saying that Steph Curry got his shot blocked by a 17-year-old at an event in Taiwan. It was funny to me how much it was displayed on social media. You know, there was a segment on my Snapchat that had it just for him. So it was kind of crazy to see that. Just the amount of publicity that he's getting after the finals, after making it to the NBA championship, and being a two-time, MVP. So this is crazy, crazy to see, just all over the internet. To be honest, in my opinion, it doesn't reflect on his game really at all, because, you know, people get blocked, people fall, like I said. Definitely don't look into this, Warrior fans. Even though the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to repeat it, you heard it here first, Cleveland Cavaliers are going to repeat. Steph Curry will be fine for the next I keep on saying WNBA. I'm thinking WNBA because of Brittany Griner, but NBA season. In my prediction, I really think they're gonna make it to the finals again, just because of the personnel that they have. Kevin Durant, huge signing on the offseason. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. That's four All-Stars that is in your starting lineup. So, in my opinion, how really can you lose to a team? But it's gonna happen in the finals. So, you know, it's gonna be a rematch again, and my guys, LeBron and the Cavs are gonna take it over once again. But in my opinion, you know, it's definitely gonna be a rematch. You didn't see no team in the offseason make as big amount of trades or as big amount of moves as the Warriors did. They had to give up a good amount of players. You know, you're not going to see Harrison Barnes come back, being a guy, a great role player for them that does necessarily the little things. You know, we know that Draymond Green is a hustle player and can do a lot of the little things, but can he do that himself? You know, we're going to see in this next season what really is going to happen. And we saw, you know, comparing it to the Miami Heat in 2012 when they teamed up with, you know, a couple superstars on their side. You know, they had some problems meshing in the beginning. And that just comes time with chemistry, knowing each other's games, knowing each other's tendencies, and really being comfortable with one another on the court. We saw that Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson played with each other during the Olympics this past summer, so I believe that will help them a bit just to get a quick start, and I think that was probably very beneficial to their whole team with them, those three guys playing together, because they're going to be starting, you know. But it's going to be very interesting and very fun to see what plays out. Looking at their stats from last year, they all above 20 points. You know, they all averaged above 20 points besides Draymond, but he was out for a couple of games in the finals, and that kind of hurted them as well. But, you know, you have four guys averaging more than 20 points. It's going to be hard picking and choosing shots of who gets the shot and when gets the shot. And like we saw with problems with LeBron and Wade, is there going to be conflictions with, you know, those two guys or those three guys butting heads for the last shot? You know, is it going to be the one who want to take it, or are they going to be the one who wants to pass it up? And we saw Kevin Durant in his past years has been a crazy, crazy great clutch player from anywhere on the field. In his past years, he's probably had one of the most buzzer-beating, you know, shots to put himself and his team over to get the W. But we're wondering, you know, who's going to be able to take that shot. We've seen Steph do it multiple times throughout his career. We've seen Klay hit big shots. We've seen Draymond go off definitely in the finals this past year. But who's going to be it? And that's really what I'm waiting to see play out and go down for the season. I truly believe that they're going to make it to the finals again. There's no other team in the Western Conference. You know, Tim Duncan retired. Is that going to hurt the Spurs a little bit? Maybe, but he didn't play a lot also last year. You know, they kind of did that. So LaMarcus Aldridge is now going to step in his shoes for the upcoming years. But, you know, we still see Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker still. We'll see how much they have left in the tank. Definitely see how much they have left in the tank. And then we have, you know, Russell Westbrook, who's going to, you know, I think go on a tear this season just because of the dealings in the offseason with Kevin Durant leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder, and kind of not the way he did it, but he didn't address really his teammates beforehand. And Russell Westbrook even said that he found out like everyone else did. He found out through a text message through Durant through social media, and Durant really like kind of really apologizing, saying, you know, this is what I have to do. And Russell Westbrook kind of just shrugged it off. And if you've seen Russell Westbrook play, you know that he's an intense player, crazy madman on the court. So it's going to be fun to see what he does He's one of my lead picks, top picks in for the NBA MVP race next year. Steph Curry's not going to get it. I'm sorry. Sorry to break you guys' hearts now, but he's not going to be able to get an MVP with three other All-Stars on his team. Kevin Durant especially is needed, going to get at least 15 to 20 shots a game if he's going to want to see the same points average last year. So, you know, it's going to be hard for Curry to three-peat that. So definitely my money is on Westbrook. Would love to hear what you guys think. But we're going to take our last commercial break and then finish it out. Want to thank you guys for listening. Once again, you're listening to DJ Duncan on the Bounce. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Thank you guys for tuning in for this last segment of the show. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Tuesdays 4 to 5, don't forget. This is showtime. It's going to be really good, really fun show throughout the rest of the semester, talking about basketball on the court and on the court. Like I previously stated, I'm a basketball player here at Dominican. Have been on the team the past 4 years and really seen the ups and downs of the program, and definitely can relate to, you know, NBA players off the court issues and, you know, what they're doing outside and, you know, being a regular person, you know, not only a basketball player getting shots up and doing stuff in the gym, but also off the court, how they present themselves, what they do in their spare time, what they do with their family. So I can really give you guys a good reflection on that topic, you know, and I'm really excited for you guys to tune in and listen to me every Tuesday, 4 to 5. So let's close out the show. I want to close out the show of talking about our main focus, save the best for last, maybe the Dominican Penguins. Let's talk about the girls team here first. Last year they had a great season, finishing up 18-11, 13-7 in conference, one of their best years yet, I believe, in Division II. Danny Weathered, which was a senior last year, she had a great, outstanding season, you know, and really helped those those women, you know, do great in their season. And we'll see what they have in their next this upcoming year. Their first home their first game is Friday, November 11th against Chico State, and their first home game, don't miss it, Friday, November 18th. Here at Dominican versus Cal State Dominguez Hills. You know, shout out DJ Cheeks and her squad repping the Penguins. And we were really excited to see what they can do, you know, in this upcoming year. For the men's side of things, men's finished last year 14-14. We had a, you know, completely average season, 10-10. Finished 6 out of the top, you know, this 14 teams in our conference, and we finished 6, so we got the last seed to the playoffs, and we lost in the first round to Cal Baptist, who eventually won the whole PacWest tournament, and I want to say went to not the Elite Eight, but I want to say maybe 2 rounds or 3 rounds into the national tournament itself. So we lost to a tough team, had a great year of, you know, memories, but we lost some squeakers, and that really bit us in the butt at the end. But our first home game this upcoming year is against Stanislaus State at it's at a SF State tournament, so we will be playing back-to-back days, Friday, November 11th at 5, and then Saturday, November 12th at 7. Our first home game is falls on a Wednesday, November 16th, versus Chico State, which we lost to here at the Icebox last year. So we're looking for a little bit of revenge, getting those guys. And our first conference game falls on a December 1st on a Thursday. So I will be reminding you guys of those games, women's and men's teams. Definitely going to have some features here from the men's basketball team, women's basketball team, talking about their season, preseason, during season, and all you need to know. Definitely, you know, on the court and off the court stuff like we talk about here today. But I'm really excited, you know, being my last year. I want to really see what I could do and help the team. We've made it. We finished second in the conference. We finished second my freshman year. Didn't make it. We fell out to the eighth seed my sophomore year, and we were back in it my last year, my junior year, finishing up the sixth seed. So I'm really excited to see what these guys can do. We definitely got some more recruits to add experience to the team. And, you know, I'm excited to bring those guys on because, you know, they're really lovable guys that have great characters, great personalities, and that you guys will laugh and have a good time with on the show. So with that being said, just want to close up. Thank you guys for listening. Had a great first show here. Very excited for the rest of the semester. I want you guys to tune in Tuesdays, 4 to 5. Don't forget to listen to DJ KP later on today at 6. This is DJ Duncan. We're listening to On the Bounce. This is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you guys for listening in. Hope to see you guys next Tuesday.